Highland Presbyterian Church presents Arts on the Corner, a series of recitals by various musicians. And Frank Heller is here to tell us about their next artist. Frank,
absolutely.
Hi.
We are so excited that Mary Rapier is going to close out our first series of Arts in the Corner this Sunday, May the 19th at 3 p.m. in the afternoon in the sanctuary of Highland Presbyterian Church. And I can't think of a better way for us to give tribute to music and musicians and the great stuff that's gone on at Highland Presbyterian Church than to end this series with Mary Rapier, who has given years upon years to this church. And I believe that it's over 50 years at this point to Highland Pres.
Is that right? And in what capacity, Mary?
Well, first of all, just being the wife of the choir director for a while. And then I had played at many churches all over before I was married. I taught at Ball State for a while, and I had a Presbyterian church there, and in Baton Rouge at LSU. I played at the Baptist church there and also the Presbyterian church there. And in Muncie at Ball State, I had the, I think I said that, the Presbyterian church, where the minister told me, be sure you don't play anything too loud or too fast because I don't want anything interfering with my sermon. So it was a pretty easy job. I didn't play anything loud or didn't play anything fast. But anyway, when my husband was appointed the choir director at Highland, I gradually worked into things. I played piano here and there, or even played some organ occasionally. But then I got involved in the choir work, children's choirs, and now when Frank Heller came to our church as the leader, suddenly we have this tremendous music program with many choirs, many ages, and it's wonderful. So I think I have five that I play for.
Well, in your upcoming performance on Sunday, May 19th at 3 p.m., Mary Rapier, how did you decide your program, and what are you?
Well, I'm still working on it today.
Oh, good.
Yep. We'll see. I thought, well, what can I do? I always was able to play by ear. And so Frank has had a gospel choir that has started at church, which has been quite successful. And the people in it really enjoy working in it, and as I do too. So I thought, well, if I do a program, there's no way I'm going to be able to get a strictly serious program together of classical music. So fingers still work enough to do some things. So I thought, well, I start with early stuff, some Couperin, Pacetti, a little bit of Bach, a short Mendelssohn, a short Ravel. And then my family is... it's kind of an unusual family, not on my side because I'm an only child, but my husband had brothers and sisters and cousins. And at one time, there were about 15 or 16 professional players. His brother was oboist in the Boston Symphony, Philadelphia Orchestra. His sister is a cellist in three orchestras in Texas. Their children are professional musicians. It seems to go on and on, that kind of thing. So I thought, well, I'll get a little few of my people involved. So my harpist daughter, Mary Julian, is going to help me out Sunday. And I was hoping my cellist daughter, Beth, who is in the Minnesota Orchestra, which is locked out right now, could come down. But she and her husband, also cellist, got work in the Dallas Symphony, and they're doing some recording down there, so she wasn't available. But my grandson, who's a junior in high school, is coming down to play a few trumpet tunes with me.
Oh, excellent.
And then so forth. So it's kind of a varied program. It goes on into some... pop stuff, some gospel stuff, and I have a good friend who's a drummer who's going to be doing some ragtime music with me. So it'll be different.
It sounds like a varied program. And again, that's Sunday, May 19th at 3 p.m. at Highland Presbyterian Church, which is at 1011 Cherokee Road in Louisville. And Frank, can people call the phone number for information about the arts on the corner? Or how can people
Absolutely. They can call the church at 451-2910 and speak with people about the series itself. But we started the series this year basically to feature members of the church. We started with Mike mm-hmm. Tracy and his Brazilian ensemble in the fall, and then the chancel choir wrapped its two music services into the series. Edward Carruthers, who's our bass section leader, also sang this year and did a recital. And as I say, I just am thrilled that one, Mary said yes, and two, that she's gonna show us the many facets of her skill and her talent. She is as fine as anybody I know in the classical world, but there's nobody that plays a better gospel piano than Mary Rapier. And so I am just thrilled she's going to do some improv as well as mm-hmm. It's just going to be a wonderful afternoon for people that come. So,
well, I would be scolded if I didn't ask you a few more questions, Mary, about All right. your history, the people that you've known, the musicians you've known, because of your connections, because you are a musician and have been a veteran musician in Louisville for a long time. You have quite a few stories. You know quite a few people.
Yeah.
And I would be remiss without asking you a little bit about that.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, your family yes. is full of musicians.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's kind of unusual when we get together. As I say, about counting all with the children, so there are at least 16 professional musicians. It's kind of strange. And it's been very enjoyable, and, you know, we keep up with each other and so forth. But when we first, my husband and I moved here from New Orleans in Baton Rouge when Robert Whitney and the orchestra here got the Rockefeller grant. And my husband, well, he and I both, we met at the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York. He'd been in the Air Force during the war, and I was just about to finish up, and he came back up there, all the veterans returned to music school, and Eastman had suddenly taken on all these girls while no men around. And so suddenly all the war was over and everybody was coming back to school. So they made no bones about it. And they said, we're going to make it as difficult as we are because we need to get rid of some of you girls, which they did. But anyway, that's where we met after he came back. And so he went on to, after we graduated, I taught at Ball State College in Muncie for a while, theory and piano. And then after we were married, we lived in New Orleans in Baton Rouge. He was at LSU in the New Orleans Symphony. And then Rob Whitney, sometime during this time when he was in school, he, going home on Christmas vacation from Rochester, his home was in Texas, Tyler, Texas. He stopped off in Louisville and auditioned for Rob Whitney. In those days, you didn't have a committee helping to select your orchestra. I think pretty much the conductors did it on their own. You just auditioned for a conductor. So he stopped off in Louisville and auditioned. And this was some years later. Suddenly, while we were in Louisiana, he got the call. Oh, we're going to do all these recordings. We've gotten this Rockefeller grant. Can you come and be the first trumpet? So that's how we ended up in Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting those days, the recordings and the different prominent people who came to town. And it was very interesting, all those. The orchestra also, in the meantime, after we moved here about a year or two, Doris Owen Bickle had been the pianist with the orchestra, and she resigned. and I became the orchestra's pianist. So I got in on a lot of interesting things then. We used to do a series at French Lick in the summer that was very nice, and we'd have guest conductors, pretty prominent people. Fiedler from Boston Pops came, would come one weekend, and different ones, and they would come in and just rehearse, and then we'd go up to French Lick and play. And in those days, whoever was the pianist in the orchestra also had to sub in the percussion section, because they didn't hire that many people. I had a wonderful timpani player, Ted Otten, but one person that took care of the snare drum, pretty much. But anybody else, like the harpist or the pianist, if you didn't have a part, you had to play something. So I had played cymbals and tambourine and bass drum and so forth, as many members of orchestra, whoever was free, got to play in the percussion section, even though we were doing all these big recordings. But at French Lick one summer, Arthur Fiedler, who I understand was a very particular with his rhythm sections of the orchestra, stopped the orchestra. I had a piano part, and I was so glad because our third trombone was playing bass drum. And Fiedler stopped the orchestra and said, "Sir, have you ever played bass drum before?" And Sammy Rosenthal was playing bass drum. And before Sammy could say anything, the whole brass section said he had a bad teacher. And so that ended that. But they were, you know, very interesting. They was a very interesting days, and recordings always were interesting.
Well, the conductors at that time were little more tyrannical than
they
are now.
Oh, were they ever? Yeah, right. So, as I say, many, many interesting things happened during those days with the different conductors, because the orchestras, as I did that French Lick festival for quite a few summers, Skitch Henderson came down. Oh, and the guy that wrote Stardust, Hargy Carmichael was there. I was playing piano on that at that time, and with them. And so we were up French Lick eating dinner, and suddenly I got the call. Somebody came and said, "Well, would you please come to so-and-so, certain such a room? Hoagy Carmichael wants to rehearse with you." And I said, "Rehearse? What do you mean?" He had written lyrics to the, what is it, the 21st variation of Rachmaninoff, things. Da-da-da-da-dum, bum-bum-bum-bum.
Yeah, number 18.
Yeah. And he had written lyrics to that, and whatever the date was had not lapsed yet where you could get it published. I don't think it was ever published. I hope it wasn't. But anyway, he wanted to rehearse. And so I went to his hotel room there at French Lick, and I went in. And I was kind of surprised at the setting. One whole side of the room was nothing but a bar. I mean, floor to ceiling. And Hoagy was sitting there, and I looked around for the piano, and there was no piano. And I said, "Where is the piano?" And he said, "Just sit down and sing it to me." And so I sat down and sang, da, 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 da. And he did his lyrics, something about "When I Look Into Your Eyes." So it was really bad. And luckily, it was never published. But those are the kind of experiences we had in French Lick.
That's amazing. Now, I've been in Louisville since the end of the 80s.
Oh,
and,
okay.
The name Leon Rapier was still on a lot of people's lips.
Yeah.
I mean, he was as big as a celebrity
as
you could get with the Louisville Orchestra. Do you have any stories with Leon?
Let's see. Let me think. Well, maybe so. He was from Texas, of course, and he was very gentlemanly, very cordial, and very nice person. Really, really nice person. Well, anyway, one night at the opera, Bartz Baumhardt, I was playing. Oh, that's another thing that was kind of odd in the early days. Mars was wonderful in gathering what he could on the money he had to put on terrific operas. But the orchestra was always quite small, and I was engaged to play Hammond organ in the pit. And he'd say, "Don't let anybody see you." Okay. And like I'd have the whole score and play the second and third parts of, like, you know, whatever. He'd have a principal instrument, but they wouldn't have the second or third or whatever.
Oh my.
And just fill in on big things. And no one ever said anything and complained. And he put on terrific. I mean, he was wonderful. And
another strong personality.
Yes, yes, indeed. And so that went on. And what was I going to say? It was about March. We were playing, rehearsing something one night, and the tenor kept fouling up, and we'd go over it and over it. And Moritz would get exasperated and do his strong language in German. And so he had said a few things that nobody knew what it was. But anyway, and he ended up by saying, "Can anyone sing this blasted part?" And my husband raised his hand and said, "I'd like to try." And Marit said, "Okay." But the tensions of, you know, things, everyone, but he was able to break the tension. He was a very nice person, my husband. So I've gotten off the path.
No, that's right. I asked.
You asked.
I asked the question.
Yeah, I think about these things. I hadn't thought about them in a while.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the current state of orchestras these days? A lot of orchestras are having trouble.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm so happy. Of course, last year we went through the Louisville Orchestra being out. And my other daughter is a cellist in Minneapolis. And her husband is the principal, and she's the associate. And their orchestra is locked out still. I just came from a visit there. And they're still in bad shape. St. Paul Chamber Orchestra got their contract, I think maybe last week, or started very recently. But Minneapolis is still out, and they are spending a great amount of money, like $40 million, $50 million, to redo their hall, and they don't have an orchestra to play in it. It's a good orchestra. They were nominated for, what's the award for their recordings?
Grammy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Grammy. They were for their Sibelius symphonies. Their conductor, they are in the process of recording all the Sibelius symphonies right
is
now.
Is it Vainsky?
Yes, Osmo. Osmo. And they have on their own given two great concerts, and Vanska came back to conduct them and got permission some way to do it without getting in trouble. I think simply because the mayor said that he had to come and do it. But it's a bad situation, so I don't know. They're losing many, many top-notch people. I mean, it's a kind of orchestra that is, you know, does European tours like every other year, has been in the past, and has a great tradition, so I don't know.
We sometimes see a little ebb and flow with orchestras.
Yeah.
Like Detroit was such a big group. And,
yeah.
And Pittsburgh and Cleveland, they kind of rise and fall.
Rise and go. So I've had kind of 2 years of tension with the LO being out last year and the Minnesota this year with both family members involved. So.
Well, we're about out of time. I wanted to thank you. And Mary, we're going to have to get you back here.
Oh, well, goodness.
And hear some more stories.
Well, I apologize for rambling.
No, it's all interesting. Mary Rapier, thank you very much. Frank Heller, thank you.
Thank you.